Walsh set it down to the St. Louis 45. No score first quarter. Bradford operates in the gun. Fourth and less than one from the St. Louis 2-yard line. Grant showing blitz. Takes the snap. Wow, what a great rush. Right up the middle. Tackles 45.
Perfectly timed blitz from the backside.
Chris Long again. Punt. Kickoff. Grabs football. Touchdown, Steven Jackson. Hey Rams fans, welcome to What to Watch. I'm Steve Savard, the voice of the Rams. That's DeMarco Farr, my broadcast partner, former Pro Bowl tackle, defensive tackle for the Rams. And we're going to talk about the upcoming game against the 49ers. Mm-hmm. It's 49ers week. I know it means something to you still to this day.
It means a lot to me. I mean, this is the enemy. This is the rivalry. I know it's not, it hasn't been that competitive lately, but I mean, the tie did a lot for this rivalry. Brought it back. I mean, it's going to be a physical football game. Glad it's going to be here for the second time around.
All right. First, though, let's take a look back at the Rams' victory at Arizona. They remain undefeated in the NFC West. Mm-hmm. First sweep of the Cardinals. You brought that to my attention on game day since 2003. So the Rams accomplished something here. A tale of two halves. Rams were much, much more impressive in the second half. The first half, we were kind of critical of the lack of pressure on the rookie quarterback, Ryan Lindley. And then when we met with Jeff Fisher on the Jeff Fisher Show Monday night, he said, look, the ball was coming out. I went back and looked. Mm-hmm. They did go into that game plan. After suffering nine sacks in the first matchup, they went into the game with a plan of getting that ball out quickly.
Well, you would expect to see that again if you're the San Francisco 49ers coming in this week. But, I mean, if you're defensive ends and you know the ball's coming out quick, then get your hands up. Do something to affect the pass. Help your secondary out. And then if you're in the secondary, tighten up your coverage. You know, early it just seemed like the Rams, it took a while for them to get into their groove. But once they did, they shut down that offense. They made that quarterback, Ryan Lindley, have to put the game on his shoulders to try to win it. I mean, that's a tough go for any quarterback, especially a rookie. But once they got going, stopping the run or taking the run away via turnover, the game was theirs.
The turnover streak ended.
Yeah. Yes.
Hallelujah. Jeff Fisher got
finally
tired of talking about it.
Yeah.
More than five games. He said they'd come in bunches, and they did. Four interceptions, two by Janoris Jenkins. He becomes the first Ram in the regular season ever to return two in the same game for touchdowns. First rookie since 1960. What was the key here? What changed?
Well, you got to have guts to do that. He's got them. I mean,
he jumped a route.
Yeah, there's some things. Even when you listen to Jeff Fisher talk about him, he's happy about the picks. He's never going to say a pick six is a bad deal, but you can't come off your coverage to make plays, make somebody else's plays. If you do, you better make it big. So he did that. So the secondary did a remarkable job. They did. I mean, they came up. The safeties came up and made plays. Craig Dahl got an interception. That's what you need to have. If you're not getting pressure up front, you need to have guys that take advantage of tips and overthrows or guys that will gamble and make plays. Janoris Jenkins is everything that entails. So, but you want the other guys to play discipline. You want Janoris Jenkins to play a disciplined football game first. If you have a chance to make a play, then go ahead and do it.
The defense shut out the Cardinals after halftime, and in two games, really, I thought they did an admirable job against Larry Fitzgerald, one of the premier receivers in the National Football League. He did not do much damage against the Rams in either of the matchups this year.
Wasted. I feel bad for the guy.
You do, don't you?
Not much. Not much. I feel bad because he's killed the Rams over the years.
You feel bad for him 14 weeks out of the
season. He's a tremendous weapon. They just can't seem to find a way to get the ball in his hands. So, look, I mean, you're going to face these type of receivers week in and week out, number one guys. You have to do a good job against them. Force the ball into the hands of the other guys, the secondary options, if you're going to be successful. Same carries over for this week. The only problem with the Niners, they have two or three or four guys out there that can be number one options on that day. But great job against Fitzgerald. I mean, you kept a guy over the top. You kept a guy underneath. When Ryan Lindley, the rookie quarterback, made a bad pass, he jumped all on him. That's exactly how you take advantage of him.
The running game was fantastic, especially in the second half when he needed to salt away the game. Mm-hmm. The last 3 weeks, 149 yards rushing a game. That's what the Rams are averaging. Steven Jackson himself in the last 3 weeks, 114 a game, 5.2 per carry. We talked about it before the San Francisco game. He looks as fresh this time of year as we've seen him in a long time.
You know what? Give some credit to Darryl Richardson for keeping him fresh. I mean, he carried the load when Steven Jackson was out to keep him fresh. And now this is when you want to unleash him. Same with Frank Gore. He was kept fresh for this run. If Steven Jackson keeps running the way he's running, if that offensive line keeps doing what they're doing up front, I mean, getting to the second level, knocking guys down, getting pancake blocks, Lance Kendricks coming on those wham blocks and freeing up, opening up those holes. If Steven Jackson and this running game continues, the playoffs, you're still in the hunt.
Did you just say the playoffs?
The playoffs. The you're still in the hunt at this point, which is something we haven't been able to say for a while. Right now, like if this time last year or the year before, we're talking offseason. Now we're talking playoffs. You keep running like this, the playoffs is an option.
Jeff Fisher was asked Monday, are you in the playoff hunt? He says, we're just focused on the 49ers. Let me go back to the running game, the offensive line. I think Paul Boudreau deserves a lot of credit. He has had to shift guys around most of the year because of the offensive line injury situation. Scott Wells comes back. They move Rob Turner to left guard. Right now they feel like they've got their best five out there at this point. You really paid attention to Scott Wells in his first game back, and you were impressed by how quickly he was able to get back and make a difference.
Just from snap to first step to helping on combo blocks, either direction, which is something important with a guy coming off a knee injury. Just getting up to the second level was fantastic. It was phenomenal. The way he was hooking a nose tackle that was lined up either directly on top of him or shaded one side or the other, snapping the football and then moving around. And little crafty little moves with the holds, just to frustrate a guy, get him going one way and then leaning and then just tipping him over and just opening up those holes. He's been spectacular. But Rob Turner at guard, love him out there. Now, one-on-one, when you get into a one-on-one pass rush situation, now it's just five guys going one-on-one with, pretty good pass rushers out there. But when you're talking about in the run game, it's a cohesive unit. That's Paul Boudreau. They're all stepping with the right foot. They're all stepping at the same time. Their combo blocks are as good as anybody in the league right now. That's why Steven Jackson and the running game has been able to take off.
Let's touch on special teams here quickly. Greg Zuerlein missed a 35-yarder. Jeff Fisher not worried. Says he's just rushing things a little bit. Hasn't had a lot of chances in recent weeks. But I think you have to credit the punt unit for not allowing Patrick Peterson to ruin your day in either of the matchups against the Cardinals. This guy is explosive. They did an admirable job of making sure he wasn't the difference maker.
Funny, though, when he misses, he's Greg Zuerlein. When he makes it, he's Legatron.
Legatron.
Have you noticed that? Just said, he's rookie. Let's start there. But no, good job by the punt unit, and it's been a good job all year long. It's either height with depth or good coverage at the same time or angle punts. I mean, they don't play like rookies, either of these punters, or the punter or the kicker. So it's been a great job by the special teams unit.
Stay tuned, because when we come back, we'll talk about what the Rams offense has to do to repeat its noteworthy performance 3 weeks ago against the 49ers at Candlestick Park. That's coming up next on What to Watch. Welcome back to What to Watch. Alongside DeMarco Farr, I'm Steve Savard. We're going to take a look at how the Rams offense will match up in this rematch against the 49ers defense. And DeMarco, 3 weeks ago, this offense performed very well. 450 yards of offense against one of the toughest defenses in the NFL. 159 yards rushing against the defense that averages just 91 yards rushing allowed per game, fourth best in the NFL. All right, can they repeat that? And won't the 49ers come into this game with the number one goal to stop Steven Jackson and Darryl Richardson and make Sam Bradford beat him through the air?
You would think so, and I hope they do have a repeat performance of what they had in San Francisco. Talking to some people in New Orleans, they just played them. They think they may be the most physical defense in the NFL, and I agree. If you look at what they did to Drew Brees in the second half, sacking him five times, and they went up and down the line of scrimmage doing it, from left tackle to right tackle to running backs when they tried to slide protection to Alden Smith and bring the back on the outside backer, every single one of their guys got knocked on their butt. So the one thing you don't want to do is get behind. You don't want to have to start throwing the football to stay in football games, because they will absolutely eat your lunch. So you're going to have to run the ball. You ever heard the philosophy of the Cyclops? I know I'm taking you deep here.
Very deep. Big, deeper than I'm used to.
Big, strong. He's bigger than you. He's stronger than you, but he's only got one eye. If you take away the eye, his advantages become detriments. Same deal. If you run the ball right at the 49ers, just like they did in San Fran, you take away their advantage, you take away their aggressiveness, then you can take advantage of them in the passing game. You're going to have to do that here.
All right, Alden Smith has had a spectacular season. another sack and a half against the Saints. He's got 16 and a half to lead the NFL. The problem is, though, as you said, if you focus all your attention on Alden Smith, you got other guys going to do damage.
Ahmad Brooks is going to kill you.
Ahmad Brooks on the other side. The two linebackers blitz and blitz very well and get to the quarterback all the time. Interesting. Justin Smith and Alden Smith, that's a lethal combination when they're lined up. And Justin Smith, I think, pound for pound, is one of the best football players in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But got away with a couple of holds that resulted in Alden Smith sacks the first time the Rams met the 49ers. How early does Jeff Fisher plant the seed on Sunday morning with the officials about, hey, let's keep an eye on the defensive
line? I would start right now if I'm Jeff Fisher. I mean, you start pointing those things out. I mean, he's not a guy that sends a lot of tape to the NFL, say, hey, look at this, hey, look at this. But it is what it is. Justin Smith is a crafty guy, and Alden Smith is a great pass rusher. When they get on the same side, that left side, defensive right, and come after those left tackles and left guards, they lift them right out of the shoes. Justin Smith does. He grabs that guard, throws him inside. Alden Smith comes around for the sack or gets pressure on the quarterback. So if you're Rob Turner, if you're Roger Saffold, know what you have. When those two guys line up on your side, know what you have. Make sure you get a center or a running back coming through there, or screen them to death. Get them thinking about something else
slow
other than taking off your quarterback's head.
All right, 3 weeks ago at Candlestick, Danny Amendola was sensational, okay? Mm-hmm. We don't know how effective he can be at this point. He was limping around last week at Arizona. He's not going to be 100%, probably for the rest of the year with that foot injury. You need other guys to step up. We love the fact that Lance Kendricks is starting to emerge. We're starting to see yards after the catch. We love what he did following the catch, getting into the end zone in Arizona last week.
You know, it's going to have to be the same philosophy. Take advantage of somebody in the slot. I hope it's Danny. It could be Givens. It could be Lance Kendricks. Start him on the line of scrimmage with his hand down. Back him up. Move him out into the slot. Make them think about something else. Make them have to adjust defensively. But, like I said, if you run the football, establish the run, and then start throwing off play action, screening off play action, you take away their advantage. You take away them being aggressive. I'll give you another thing. 10 personal fouls, if you count the 10, unnecessary roughness or unsportsmanlike conduct, Deshaun Golston has half of them. So you know what he's about. He's back there to be an intimidator, take your head off. But if you get him thinking about, hey, I got to stop Steven Jackson on this, hey, I got to come up and stop the run, you can take advantage of him behind him in pass coverage.
Right now, let's hear what the Rams coaches and players have to say about the matchup. The Rams have the football against the 49ers defense.
Yeah, again, I think it just comes down to execution. Again, you got Danny laying out last week for a great play down the boundary. It's guys making plays. It's a little bit of everything. We've always had them in the plan. They had a substitution last week. 31 had to come in the game. They took one of their corners out. We saw that, knew they were playing a lot of man-to-man, so we immediately took the shot on him. And again, Sam made a good throw, and Chris made the play. But it comes down to execution. And the one this week would be hard because they do a great job of stopping explosives, but we'll try to dial them up and see what happens.
It's really like we're kind of just starting the sixth quarter here. We're looking to finish this game with a win, not a tie. But, I think there's definitely a sense of some unfinished business going into this game.
Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll talk about how the Rams defense matches up against the 49ers offense in round two of this rivalry. That's coming up next on What to Watch. Welcome back to What to Watch. Alongside DeMarco Farr, I'm Steve Savard. Rams and 49ers noon Sunday at the Edward Jones Dome. And DeMarco, 3 weeks ago, Jolon Dunbar, his hit on Alex Smith kind of changed the course of that game and maybe is changing the course of the 49ers season. We've seen Colin Kaepernick since then. Alex Smith was knocked out of that game. And Kaepernick really, to me, is the reason why the 49ers were able to stay afloat in that game. His 66 yards rushing, I thought, was the difference, was the X factor for the 49ers as they hung in against the Rams. We thought the Rams should have won the football game.
Oh, no doubt. Jolon Dunbar has turned into Mo Lewis. Remember Mo Lewis?
Mo Lewis. Knocked Drew Bledsoe out. Here comes Tom
Here
Brady.
Comes Tom Brady.
It isn't as dramatic yet.
It could be, though.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it plays
offense.
Out.
Yeah, when you talk about the rushing yards he had in the second half, talking about Colin Kaepernick, I think only one, maybe two, were called runs. Most were scrambles. Good rushes by either Chris Long, Robert Quinn, or whoever was coming up the gut on blitzes, but he'll make you miss. He'll exploit those vertical seams in the pass rush. So you've got to make sure that you get an all-out rush on him because he can't throw the football, but you have to rush discipline and rush tight to your man. So you're going to have to be a little more physical this week if you're Chris Long and Robert Quinn. You can't just jet off the football and expect him to be there. He's not. He'll pull it down to scramble to buy time, pull it down and run. And he's so fast. I mean, he's one of the faster quarterbacks, but he runs with balance, and he runs in a way that he can set himself up and get a good base to throw. Some guys, when they start to run, they just can't set that base. They have to keep running. He can stop on a dime and throw down the field. He's a tough quarterback.
Well, Jim Harbaugh used him against New Orleans the same way that Mike Shanahan has used Robert Griffin III. That's with the option, running the option. Of course, Kaepernick ran the pistol in college, so he's familiar with it. So he's been impressive running the football. But Jeff Fisher told us Monday night, look, the other thing this kid's doing is he's throwing the ball very, very accurately down the field. So this kid's not just a runner. He's not just an athlete. He looks like he's a legitimate dual threat quarterback in the NFL.
The thing I notice on film that really jumps off to me is when he does start to move around, if you look at Vernon Davis, if you look at Crabtree, if you look at Randy Moss when he's on the field, Delonte Walker, anybody that's going out on a vertical route, they don't turn around to look at the quarterback. They're still running their route. That's how much confidence they have in him. So he'll buy time back there. He'll evade the rush and let you get deep down the field, and he can get it down there in a hurry. You don't have to break off that route and come back and help him because he's got a weak arm. He can buy time and throw it down the field just like John Elway, or John Elway-esque, I'll say that. So it's going to be a full-time job for the defense, but you're going to have to expect a heavy dose of Frank Gore.
Yes.
He's going to come at you for off tackle, inside, outside. You're going to have to expect a heavy dose of zone read, the option, because he can run it. So, I mean, it's almost back to college for some of these guys on defense.
Yeah, Gore's backup, Kendall Hunter, lost for the season. He's now in IR. They've also lost wide receiver Kyle Williams. But going back to the running game, 163 yards a game is what the 49ers are pumping out. That's number one in the NFL. Averaging 5.4 per carry, also number one in the NFL. They've got 12 runs of 20 or more, third most in the National Football League. So Frank Gore, that really has to be your number one goal from a Rams standpoint.
Yeah, and if they're going to pop, if those runs are going to pop, you expect them to pop late because you're just absolutely worn out by this offense. He is a hunt and peck type guy. I mean, he sets up his blocks and he gets small in the hole, especially when he's going out to his left off tackle. He sets up his blocks and then all of a sudden he'll just dart. If you get a pad on him, or if you don't get a pad on him and try to arm tackle him, he'll step through it and be gone. He's one of the, to me, might be the most underrated back out there. I don't know why we don't talk about him.
You're right. He actually is a superstar, but not talked about like he's a superstar.
Yeah, he is the offense. He is San Francisco's. He's the tip of the spear to me. Everything else is just gravy around him. So everything they do is to set up Frank Gore to wear you out.
49ers don't turn the football over. Just 11 turnovers through 11 games on offense. Let's hear what the Rams players and coaches have to say about trying to stop the 49ers attack.
Colin, he's really aware for a young guy, especially a young quarterback. He's aware in the pocket. He moves around well. But one thing he does have is great straight line speed. So you have to be cognizant of that.
And this is a very talented athlete that is extremely gifted, making off-schedule plays. He's extremely mobile. He's a good thrower on the run, and then he's very smart. You know, clearly Jim, you know, believes that he gives them the best chance. He's done nothing to prove him wrong on that. It's a big test for a defense because you've got, first of all, you've got a very, very good offense. You know, just starting with the offensive line, going all the way through, and then you put the added element of Kaepernick in there. It's a good offense, real good.
Coming up next on What to Watch, we'll break down the keys to victory for the Rams, who are trying to stay undefeated in the NFC West. Welcome back to What to Watch in advance of the Rams 49ers noon on Sunday at the Edward Jones Dome. DeMarco, let's talk about some keys to victory. 3 weeks ago, some ill-timed penalties cost the Rams severely. I mean, there were a couple of instances in overtime where we thought they had the game won. 89 penalties in the season, all right, third most in the NFL, close to the most. That's got to stop. You got to pare that back.
You have to cut that out. You have to stop if you hope to beat this football team, if you hope to make the playoffs, be a better football team down the road. You have got to stop hurting yourself. If you look at the yards that had to be called back because of penalties, it's staggering. I'm talking almost 500 yards of offense coming back.
Yeah, and you know what? We forgot about the Amendola punt return. I'm thinking about the Amendola
Yes.
The Amendola catch that went for 80. And, of course, the Zuerlein field goal that was wiped out, but the Amendola punt return.
Look, it's going to be tough enough to gain a yard against this football team, against this defense. Don't help them. Don't stall drives on your own. You have to stay on pace. You have to stay on rhythm in your offense. You have to know where to line up, know what you have. If you miss a block, if you get beat, so be it. They beat guys. But don't help them. Don't help them with penalties. Don't jump off sides. Let them make the mistakes. They're going to be coming in here, you know, rip-snorting up the field, trying to prove that they're better than what they showed in San Francisco. Good. Let them be the guys getting the stupid penalties. You play your game, play sound football, you'll have a chance to beat this football team.
We've talked about Colin Kaepernick. I don't think we have to revisit that. You don't want him repeating rushing for 66 yards. But to me, the matchup nightmare when the 49ers have the football is Vernon Davis. And I thought the Rams did a pretty good job of limiting the damage Davis did in the first meeting, because he can wreck your day. He can wreck your afternoon. He's just such a difficult matchup. He's more physical than most defensive backs can handle, and he's too fast for linebackers.
The thing that scares me about him is his speed, his strength. I mean, he's complete to me, but when you rush more than four, when you bring the extra guy, that means everybody's singled up against him. He is almost the designated hot read for either quarterback. When they see a five-man rush, a six-man rush, they go to Davis in a hurry, because if he gets the ball out and he completes that pass and you miss a tackle, forget it.
Right.
It's over. He's going to run by everybody in your secondary. So you have to be real smart about how you blitz, disguising your blitz. Make sure that when you do, it's a surprise to the quarterback. If you tip your hand on a hard count, get out of that blitz in a hurry, because Vernon Davis is waiting on it.
We've talked about the 49ers wanting to prove that that was an aberration three weeks ago. But do you think the Rams are motivated here to prove that that wasn't a fluke, that they can go toe-to-toe twice with the 49ers and take it to them?
You know, I think they did that. I think they proved a lot to themselves. I don't think they have anything to prove to the world. That's not what this team is about. That's not where this team is right now. San Francisco's a different deal. They're a Super Bowl contender. You're not supposed to be struggling with the St. Louis Rams, so everything is on them. They're Apollo Creed right now. Good. Take them to the 15th round, knock them down, get your hand raised at the end.
Thanks for tuning in to What to Watch. We get an in-depth look every week at the Rams matchup. This week it's the 49ers at noon, Edward Jones Dome, and don't forget, at halftime, some of the former greats of the franchise, including my partner, DeMarco Farr, will be honored as we honor the 75th anniversary of the franchise. Looking forward to that, huh?
Love that number. 75.
75.
It's a great number.
Rings true to you,
doesn't it? Thanks, Deacon.
For DeMarco Farr, I'm Steve Savard. Thanks for tuning in to What to Watch. Enjoy the game.
An RBN production.